Hey, everybody. Mike Simpson here from KNX. Another one of our interviews with a candidate running for governor. If this is your first one you clicked on, we're getting out of studios. We're talking politics over drinks like normal people without yelling at each other. This is the sixth one of these, I think. We got a couple more to go, so feel free to find the others. Today, it's former state controller Betty Yee, a Democrat, running for governor.
Cheers.
Cheers to you.
Thanks for coming in.
Of course. Thank you.
It was a Skyduster IPA for Betty Yee, former state controller, who's going to tell you she loves a spreadsheet.
So I just have to say, I'm a nerd and a geek. I mean, really, I am. And I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and do the work. The unglamorous work of governing. It's hard.
Yeah. Everybody grows up and wants to be a politician.
No. Look, I never thought I would run for office, but my family, I made a commitment that, you know, I'm going to just do this. You're always going to have your detractors. I've worked for so many elected officials. And I just said to my family, to my husband, to everybody, I said, if I ever get so insulated that I just lose myself in this, you have every right to slap me upside the head. Because I will
have...
No, because I have lost my focus about what this is all about, right? We are here to serve people.
Now, some of you out there might be wondering, what does the controller do? She describes it as essentially the CFO for the state, the fiscal watchdog. So when you talk to her, she asks how these other candidates in the race can actually pay for their plans. And she will say this state could do a better job at keeping track of where all the money goes.
So the tone for stricter accountability starts at the top. And the governor has the ability to work with the legislature. I hope to have a cooperative relationship with the legislature. But frankly, from my perspective, when we don't have accountability, when we don't get to revisit all the laws that we put into place, how they're being implemented or not, how we're directing dollars to them, maybe they work, maybe they don't, shame on us. I mean, I always say it's not our money. So we better get to the business of being sure it's delivering the outcomes that we want. We have a structural deficit. We've been spending more than we're bringing in. And this is what the next governor is going to have to contend with, in addition to looming federal cuts to particularly health care, as well as, we have a volatile tax system because we depend so much on the wealthy and obviously stock market related income. So we do have to deal with how we stabilize our revenue. So the boom and bust is a problem.
But what about how we spend our money?
I'll give you housing, for example. I think the legislature has passed so many housing bills, they just need to stop. You know, how do we get it built? Seriously.
Yes, please.
How do we get it built?
Yeah.
And I'm more of a carrots person than a hammer person, but the state can provide the funding. We actually have a mess of different financing programs for building affordable housing. How do we become, you know, more efficient with the programs that we have? One-stop shop. Developer comes in, one-stop for all the different sources of financing that they need. So that, I mean, I sat on some of these committees as controller. I couldn't tell you, you know, with that slice of financing that a developer needed, like what's the whole public benefit that we're getting out of that? But there are jurisdictions, I do have to say, and I want to just name this because who just don't have the fiscal capacity, you know, to build housing. So what can the state do to be a better partner on financing infrastructure? What can we do to help incentivize business development so that what we build actually is creating what I call economically sustainable communities so that we're not building housing and then they're still in a car, you know, commuting for 2 hours to get to a job.
We'll stick with this theme. She was the money person in this state. You can't talk about money without talking about homelessness. And where is all that money gone?
You know, a lot of it went to things that I think our local governments, our cities and our counties really in earnest felt like were going to work. But a couple things with respect to the $24 billion or so now that the state has put forth.
It's a wild number.
It is a wild number. No, because and for that kind of money, what I want to see is first the state really taking leadership and ownership of the fact that this is a coordinated effort. You know, there's got to be, you know, just a conversation about roles and responsibilities, accountability. What is it that we want to achieve by when? You know, just like interim targets. You all have the solutions on the ground, cities and counties. State has the funding. We're happy to give you flexibility to, you know, make all that work, but you have to like deliver, you know, good outcomes. So what does that look like? And really be upfront about that. You don't get to do it after the fact. You do it right at the front end of this. The big city mayor has just made a pitch to have, you know, $1 billion commitment every year for housing and homelessness assistance. And I said, look, I will commit to it if there's accountability measures that are clear up front, but you have to deliver.
Do the Republicans have a point, especially the two in this race, when they suspect or charge that there are at least, if not massive amounts of fraud, that there's something going on somewhere?
Well, I always think that, look, my office and I did audits. You're always going to find fraud to some degree.
Someone's going to try something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially when nobody's looking, right? And so there are, there's been speculation that some of the nonprofit organizations that have been involved in delivering some of these services haven't had a magnifying glass put to them. If I were still controller, I'd be looking at all these contracts locally to see just what are we getting. But I would not have put another dime out there without kind of understanding, you know, just what we have gotten, right? Yeah. And then you think about, okay, who are we trying to help, right? And so that population is pretty complex, right? So we have students who are unhoused. We have working families who just can't afford to pay the rent. They're living out of their cars during the week, maybe going home over the weekend. We have, I said, just families with children. And so you have all kinds of, you know, just needs that are out there. Like, I would love to spend money just to prevent homelessness in the first place, right? I mean, maybe it's about the fact that somebody just wasn't able to work because of a health issue, right? And so can we help them pay their rent for, you know, a couple months? I mean, instead of having them... Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And then, of course, here in LA, you've had local sources of funding as well. And so, I mean, every time I read a headline that there's been, you know, housing units built, but we haven't, like, put anybody in them.
Or why is each one $500,000?
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, the cost of that, there are ways to build much more inexpensively.
We also talked about this race in general, the state of it. You know the controversies that have happened. But other than that, the through line has kind of been, are people paying attention to these candidates as we get closer to the election? And if not, why? Are people just tired of politics?
I think people are just kind of tired, period. You know, I mean, you look at...
Exhausted.
Every day you're waking up, it's like, okay, what next? What's going to hit us next?
Please make it stop.
Right, and where people are just like, just trying to figure out, how am I going to put gas in the car to get to work? You know, is my kid's school going to be okay? Am I going to have health care next month? You know, I mean, there's just so much happening in people's lives, and I get that. But I also think that we're at a period now where our politics... there's no really like heir apparent for a lot of these offices now. The political dynasties have kind of, you know, are bygone era. And so it is going to require voters to have to be, you know, just more discerning and just kind of getting to know us, hopefully at the most earliest point possible so that they can make an informed decision. So it's hard. And when you have a lot of people, I mean, where do you start, right? I mean, for the average person, where do you start?
Hopefully these have helped. I mean, I hope some of you have learned something about these candidates. I did ask her, what's it like to play in this world of Tom Steyer's and Katie Porter's? Because they've built the huge name recognition over the years.
They have. You know, it's my gut feels like we are doing the right thing. And the reason being that, you know, direct voter engagement to me is really important for people to see and hear what I'm about. But it also gives me an opportunity to be in communities, to understand who and what I'm going to be representing, and also to see what's working in communities. I mean, one of the things that I have just been so inspired by is the fact that when the state decided to transfer its responsibility for juvenile offenders to counties without a whole lot of funding, to see how that has really gotten county probation to reinvent itself, and because there's just been this whole commitment, understanding these are juvenile offenders who are eventually going to be returning to the community. So probation's been bringing in all the partners, education, mental health, you know, everything, all the services are trauma center and trauma informed, the arts, job training, and just seeing these programs, these young people for the first time in their lives feel like they're being seen, feel like they're being tapped to harness, you know, the talent that they have, and everyone is just about, you know, ensuring their success when they're able to return back to the community. So
I'm just laughing because you don't seem like the person who's ever sent like a very angry all caps tweet.
I actually don't, but at the same time, I'm very good at on the ground organizing. So
and you know what else? She says she's having fun.
I'm having a great time. Every politician now is a headline politician. You know, you get something done, get a press release, and then next, move on. Instead of, you know, let's focus on kind of really seeing this through in terms of whether it's really helping people. And so this is the work that I think has been missing for at least almost two decades. And from my perspective as controller, we've wasted a lot of money.
Thanks for hanging out. We'll do it again sometime.
Of course. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Again, former state controller Betty Yee there. If you want to hear some of the interviews with the other candidates, knxnews.com, or find this audio, the LA Local, is where we're posting these, on Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you get your audio. And hey, thanks for listening.